All right, Colossians 1, verses 10 and 11. Walking worthy of the Lord. Walking worthy of the Lord. I don't know if you've ever used checklists. How many of you regularly use checklists? Maybe just raise your hand, okay, if that's kind of the way you work. I find them helpful. In the book Checklist Manifesto, Atul Gawande details the value of using checklists in many walks of life. He's a medical professional used in the field of surgery and demonstrates how the simple idea is making strides in nearly every facet of life. From rescue situations to the Air Force to cleanliness and intensive care units, simple checklists make things even extremely complex, like flying an airplane, simple, because I just do the next thing. I just do the next thing. I just do the next thing. So we get very high-tech in our checklist now, right? We're making even the simple thing of a checklist extremely complicated. One of my favorite overcomplications of the checklist, and actually I use this sometimes, is Asana. I don't know if you've used this as a free software, right? Because now everything that is a simple idea has to go on your phone and on this tablet and that tablet and the computer. And then it gets more and more. This one, your checklists have checklists. And your assignments can be given to this person, that person. And then the projects have checklists that have checklists. And it gets complicated. But it's used by Google and GE and NASA and many other companies, and it actually is very helpful. But I got tired of that, and I'm just going back to the paper. I got my paper for the week of what's going on, and then it's just a simple checklist for that week, and it's so helpful for me to say, because it's like ideas and tasks are like butterflies. And you know, they're there now, but they flitter away. And so that helps me. It's like my butterfly net. I capture that and I put it down here. Okay, it's there. I don't have to think about it anymore because it's there. Hopefully I remember to think about it later when I have to do it. But it's so helpful to at least have it down on paper and then I can return to it when I'm ready. Checklists are so helpful. They are. And one of my mentors just uses a post-it note each day. He takes a post-it note and writes on there what's for the day, and then at the end of the day, he looks at that post-it note and throws it away if he's done it all, or saves it for the next day and adds it to the post-it note for the next day. Helpful. Well, what about this huge project called Walking Worthy of the Lord? What would a checklist look like that demonstrated you are walking in a way that is worthy of the Lord? Could we provide a checklist that long, that complicated, that sophisticated, that spiritual? Well, today we're going to do that because we're going to go to Scripture, and as we look at our verse today, it actually is going to tell us, as Paul's praying, the result of what he's praying is going to make them walking worthy of the Lord, and then he's going to describe to us what that looks like, and it's kind of like a checklist. Right, checklists can be diagnostic in the sense of what you need to do to make sure that this car runs again, or what you need to do to make sure this project is afloat, so it's like, this is what's wrong, this is the steps to make it right. Or it can just be describing your planning, right? This is the way my day is being planned out. Well, this is a checklist that kind of covers both of those ideas. How can you know, a diagnostic tool, that you're living worthy of the Lord? And then how can you? It turns into a plan. Well, this is how I can put it into practice in order to live worthy of the Lord. And so I think it will be very helpful for us as we walk through it together. So let's just get where we are in Colossians 1. If you remember, we're in the prayer. And so pick up there, verse 9. We saw that Paul is praying for them now. And there's the motivation for his prayer request. There's the request. And then there's the result of the prayer request. And then what we're going to consider today, this checklist. Because we ran out of time last week. And I knew we would. It's not a problem. Because, again, you guys don't want to be here for a couple hours. At least in the sermon time. So we split it in half. And last week we saw this motivation for the request. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it. And then he gets into the request itself. We have not ceased to pray, right? So there's his request for them. We pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. What a great prayer request. And we kind of sunk our teeth into that last week and realized that there is a spiritual understanding that's not just the facts of academic understanding, and it's not just like letting those facts work in the way I live, being able to tie my shoe, right? The practical street credit, right? Of knowing how to live the facts, but there's even deeper than that. There's a third level, spiritual facts, spiritual understanding, and that's what he's praying that they'll be filled with, a knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Well, today we're going to get to the purpose for that, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects. And then that checklist, that as you do that in your life, there's these four aspects of it. And so you're just going to kind of write those down and give yourself a diagnostic test. Am I consistently living out these four actions? Well, then I'm walking worthy of the Lord. Do I need to improve in an area? Okay, and it's going to give us not just a diagnostic, but a plan for walking worthy of the Lord. And I think it'll be very practical, but also extremely deep as we consider these blessed truths. And then next week's Mother's Day. So we have to pause and we'll do our Mother's Day. I think we have pictures. We have pictures, a little gift. So please come back and bring all the ladies you know. And that'll be next Sunday. But then we are just about to enter. Verse 12 and on is some of the deepest Christology in the Bible. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. Like, we're going along the reef here, and then we're going to go out into the deep. But that'll be in a couple weeks. I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, let's get back here to Colossians 1. All right, verse 10. Let's jump in here to the actual result of what happens when you obey these requests. Right, as Paul's praying that you'll be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As that is true, what is the result of that? Well, look at that in verse 10. So that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects. As you're filled with God's understanding, the spiritual understanding of who he is and his great grand purposes in the earth that your life weaves into, then you are going to be someone who is walking worthy of the Lord, pleasing him in all respects. Let's take a moment to consider what that means, to walk worthy. That's our desire. All right, is your walk a worthy walk? We don't say that very often anymore, I guess. Like, how are you walking? Right? Are you tripping? Or right? Are you have a little bit of a John Wayne walk? I don't know. What does that mean? What is he talking about there? He's talking about your manner of living, right? That's the expression, what it means. A walk is the way you live. 2 Kings, Hezekiah says, "Remember now, O Lord, I beg you, that I walked before you in truth all the days of my life." So that's the idea. I was living my life, walking, right? Not just the way I walked, but where I went, what I did, what I thought was in your presence, and you saw me walking this way. And that's what he's talking about. The way you live, your lifestyle. And so when we say someone stumbled in their testimony, we're talking about they stopped walking in a way that was worthy of the Lord, right? They stumbled in how they're in their behavior in one way or another. And so we can live in a way that is walking worthy of the Lord. You can walk in a worthy manner. Right, so it's not just your manner of life, but it's living in such a way that you're worthy of the Lord. Wow. So we can live in a way that reflects poorly on him. That person calls themselves a Christian? Right? Did you hear or see? XYZ, and they call themselves a Christian? That's not walking worthy of the Lord. And so again, big picture here, what God's doing is redeeming a body for His glory. And our lives are to be like the just this little section of that huge painting, and I want every stroke and every moment of my life in this huge painting to be in keeping with that huge image. So the way I conduct myself at work and the way I conduct myself with my family and all these things are part of that big picture of walking worthy of the Lord. Your behavior, your actions can be something that reflects so poorly on the institution where you got your education, your degree, that they will revoke the diploma. And you hear that happening. This person, the way they live is so against the way our institution is set up as our core values. We are going to revoke that diploma. They are not walking worthy of whatever school that is. Perhaps a family would do this. Right? A family would say, you are so, you're walking so different from our family name. We are going to disown you. You are no longer a Richmond. I'm sure as a child, there are some times where my parents wanted to say that to me. Tim, you're no longer living like a Richmond. You're not walking worthy of your family's name. What this is saying is that the way we conduct our lives can reflect so poorly on the name of the Lord that we are not walking worthy of His name. And we can walk in such a way that we do reflect His name. We do. Someone says, well, that person's a Christian. They are like Jesus in the way they live. The book of Ephesians dives into this in a great way, and I would encourage you maybe to read that in this light. Ephesians 4, he talks repeatedly about the worthy walk of the Lord. 4:1, walk in a manner worthy of your calling with which you are called. And then he shows what that looks like, walking in the unity of the faith. Walking worthy of the Lord is not walking like non-Christians. Ephesians 4, verse 17 and following. He says, therefore I say and affirm together with the Lord that you no longer walk as the Gentiles or non-Christians in the futility of their mind. Walking worthy of the Lord, Ephesians 5, is to walk in love. Walk in love just as Christ also loved you. Walking worthy of the Lord is walking in light, Ephesians tells us. Ephesians 5, 8, you were formerly darkness, but now you are light. Walk in as children of light. And then walk in Spirit-filled wisdom, Ephesians 5, and really 5 and 6. As he says, be filled with the Spirit, or to walk in the Spirit of wisdom. Well, is your life a consistent testimony to the Lord? Are you reflecting the Lord's glory as a born-again Christian? If you are, look at the byproduct of that. As he continues on, he says, the result of that worthy walk is one that pleases the Lord. So you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. What does it say? What's the next phrase? I want us to all make sure we're looking at it. To what? Please Him in all respects. Do you see that? Right? To please Him in all respects. As you're walking worthy of the Lord is pleased with you. You ever considered that? It pleases the Lord as we walk worthy of His name. The Lord can be pleased with you. I want to clarify, we do know that we're complete in Christ, right? Complete in Him, no work of mine could take, dear Lord, the place of thine. And so my salvation is complete totally in Jesus. I cannot add one good work to earn His favor at all. Judicially, I am declared to be right with Him in the courtroom of heaven. All my sins, past, present, and future, are under the blood. And so I'm redeemed by His grace alone and faith alone. Nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. But this verse goes on to teach that God is a person. He's a Father. Think of God as the Father. Think of Jesus as the ascended, risen Christ who's praying for you. And He is a person. Right? Sometimes we think He's a force out there. He is a person. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, three persons, one God. The Holy Spirit is grieved. He is grieved, the Bible says. The Lord Jesus, the night He was betrayed, He was crying, right? But He went back to those disciples and He was kind of upset that they were falling asleep in the prayer. Right? Jesus is the same, right? Like, we know we're accepted in Him, but He is still a person and He sees the way you live. And so we can't allow our understanding of the glorious gospel of Christ keep verses like this from kind of pricking us along. Tim, right? The way you live can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You can live in such a way that you're not walking worthy of the Lord. But as you do, your Heavenly Father is pleased. Your Heavenly Father, see, it talks about even giving as a sacrifice to Him that's a sweet aroma in His presence. I don't understand how all of this works out, but it's very true. I want to please Him. I do. And when I don't, my heart is grieved. My conscience is pricked. Lord, I'm so sorry. It's just like a child and their parent, hopefully. Right? When they disobey or do something that their parent disapproves of, they're like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Right? This is our spirit. We know He doesn't disown us. But this says we need to walk in a way that is pleasing to Him. Pleasing to Him. And so how does that look? How are we going to do that? Well, that's where the checklist comes in. This is the checklist before Him. And you see the text in front of you as He continues in verses 11. I'm sorry, the end of verse 10 and verse 11 and 12, we find the checklist. I think I have it. I need some glasses here. You see the bold words here that are underlined? Those are our four words that are the checklist. And they're all ing words in the original. And so this is what it looks like. If you're walking worthy of the Lord, if you're pleasing Him, these are the manifestations of that. Number one, you're bearing. Number two, you're increasing. Number three there, again in the original it is an ing word. So you could say, you are being strengthened. And then number four, verse 12, you're giving thanks. Those are four ways that manifest that you are walking worthy. And so you don't have to be left in the dark today to say, well, I mean, He mentioned several things. What is a worthy walk? How do I reflect Jesus positively? This is how you do it. One, two, three, four. So let's take a moment with each of these, okay? Number one, are you bearing fruit? Are you bearing fruit? Bearing fruit in every good work. One factor of your life that pleases the Lord is that you're bringing forth a certain type of fruit. And a live tree brings forth this type of fruit. A live Christian brings forth a specific type of fruit. And it's a common illustration in the Bible. Jesus often used the illustration of horticulture, the planting of plants, and here this growth is manifested in what? What is the good works, right? That's the fruit. As you bear fruit to the glory of God, you will be filled with good works. This will be a test, a demonstration that you have eternal life, that you're alive by doing what is good, by actions that are good. The action of Christians should be a beautiful thing, a beautiful testimony of what Christianity does in someone's life. Is, boy, that person never did things like this before, and now that they are a Christian, they completely change in what they do and how they act. And so we see even in culture, as a culture turns Christian, it turns to become more giving and doing more good deeds. It should be something that brings you joy. And again, it's not that we look at this and we say, oh, I need to do good works to please God. No, it's that it's just naturally, I want to do what is good. Remember, Sarah and I were taking our first survey trip to New York City So this was like maybe 20 years ago. I don't know. Well, we were married, so we've been married for 19 years. So 18 years ago, maybe. But we were coming to New York, and we're visiting a church in Brooklyn where we're going to serve. I was going to serve as a youth pastor. And I had an old car named Isaac, and I'm not going to go into that story, but it was kind of on its last leg. And so we broke down in the middle of North Carolina, and these roads can be deserted, believe it or not. Like 95, there's never a place where you're not deserted. But in North Carolina, you can get deserted places. And so we broke down. Was it the battery? Is it the alternator? We actually did pull off to an exit, and somebody came and helped us with that. Found out that it's not a battery, helped us with a battery. And then this guy knew of a dealership. So he helped us get it towed to a dealership. And this is a little embarrassing. We're very low on finances, right? So like, I have no idea how we're going to pay for this. It's not a battery. It's an alternator. And that's not one of those things I had in my pocket in the backyard. So they're going to have to put this in. And I still remember getting the bill, and it said paid in full. Like, how in the world is this bill paid for? Well, I didn't realize the guy that had taken us to the dealership and had taken care of the battery and taken care of the alternator and all of the expense was a Christian. And he was in seminary at that time. So he was living out his good works. Of course, I was seminary at that time too. Right, but he had the means to take care of it at least. That's a little embarrassing, but what was just it was a helpful testimony to Christianity. Right, this guy, he didn't have to tell me he did it. He didn't know I would be telling you, but I do know a good dealership to go to buy a car in North Carolina. This guy helped. Right, this is what Christians do. And it's not just financial. You say, well, I would love to give. I'm just not able to. But there are many ways we give. Right? A seminary student helped us out. It really was good confirmation of the Lord's leading us here. But you can help someone cross the street. You can help a child with homework. You can bring a meal to someone. We had a ministry team last week, and one of those things you could be involved in is benevolence. Bene is good, well, right? Doing good, great thing to be involved in. Right? Are you wanting to fill a role? There are just so many ways to get involved here in a local church. Just talk to Pastor Andrew. He has many slots to fill in. And that would be great, right? Good works at church, good works at the office, good works with my family. I want to do good. I want God's life to be flowing through me as I help others. This is an indication of something greater, that God has changed my heart and I want to do good to others. I want to help others. Good works. But look at it says, in what kind of good works? Every good work. Wow. Now that's more difficult, right? Because I might be good in this one, but I'm not really, I need to grow in my spending time with people. Right? This is, he wants us to be developing every aspect, every spectrum. There are a lot of alls in this passage. And this one would be the idea of every spectrum of works. Lord, help us to develop. Well, the next one is similar to this in that it shows how this happens. Bearing fruit in every good work and increasing. This is the second checklist. The second box on your checklist. Are you increasing in the knowledge of God? I think we are bearing fruit as we are increasing. So this is the relation here. Right? As you increase in the knowledge of God and the knowledge of His will, you will be increasing in doing good to others. It's not just doctrinal. Right? Well, I took all these theology courses. That's part of it. Right? But you could know your theology textbook as well as anyone and not really know God. Right? This theology talks words about God. You can know the words without knowing the person. Right? The words lead to the person, but you could know everything there is about some figure in pop culture and not know that person. Right? Well, this is not just knowing about God. This is knowing God, this strong personal knowledge of who He is that grows as you meditate upon Him and you talk to Him and you spend time with Him. Intense knowledge, right? This knowledge of God's kindness makes me kind. This knowledge of His power and His control gives me peace. And so I start reflecting the character of God as I meditate upon His glory. And that's what our worship service has all been about, gazing on His glory, growing more and more like Him as I gaze on Him from one phase of glory to the next. Well, how am I going to do that? That brings us to the third point in the checklist, right? You must be bearing fruit of good works. You must be growing in this real knowledge of God that is, it starts with the Word, but it must be the knowledge of the person behind the Word as well. And as you spend time with Him and walk with Him. And then number three, strengthened with all power. You must be, and we could put the ing word in here, you must be being strengthened with all power. How in the world am I going to walk worthy of the Lord? How in the world am I going to manifest fruit of every good work? I feel so insufficient for those things. Good, because you need to be strengthened. You need to be strengthened. It's not strengthen yourself for this. It's you need to be strengthened. And so he tells us the source of this strength and the purpose of this strength. You need to be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, right? And so that is the source of this. The source of your strength is from above. I'm not making myself strong for this. It's the Lord who gives me this strength. It's something we ask for and the Lord supernaturally gives me. As I meditate upon His power and His glory, He strengthens me to grow in His grace. Look at the power, the kind of power. It's strengthened with what kind of power? All power. Again, there's another all word. And I think this would be the sense of the greatest extent of power. All the power available is His power. And that's what's available to you in Christ. Strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. This is the most power anyone could ever receive. It's sad that people think that they can sell themselves to the devil to do his bidding and gain some spiritual power and influence. And people actually do. It's sad that in our culture, others would sell themselves out to causes that are unjust or crooked in order to gain some kind of power, social power, political power, personal power. But those powers that are gained are limited. Look at this power that you have. It is all power according to God's glorious might. That is an enabling to the infinite degree. There is no end to the scope of His power. You have all power. Have you felt overwhelmed by some pressure? This is the power you have in Christ. All power. There's no limit to His strength. When you consider His glory, you know that's His glorious strength on your behalf. All right, and so again, it's fashioning back to this idea of the character of God, His manifest glory, all these different aspects of the glorious nature and character of God. One of them is His power. Power demonstrated in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. That is amazing power, His ability to raise the dead. And that's what we want. We want this resurrection power in my life. That I would live as a resurrected person. A new creation. Someone spiritually alive. Totally different from those around me. That's growing in Christ-likeness. His resurrection power living through me. And that's how we can maintain a consistent testimony, a worthy testimony. This is something I'm not able to do in my own flesh. I need the power of God. It's all power. It's the power I need to be the best dad. It's the power you need to be the best mom or dad, to be the best employee, to be the best citizen, the best church member, the best neighbor, the best friend. Right? You have all these relationships, and you need power. You need strength. You need an amazing grace. And it comes from God to be a worthy walker in every circumstance. Right? Whether you're walking on ice in Alaska or Main Street, you're working there serving ice cream. Whatever situation, whether walking on the moon, right? I want to walk worthy. How can I do that? By strengthening yourself by God's grace through His power. So let me encourage you, finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Every Christian is just as weak as any other person in the world. And you will fail. You will crumble without God's strength. And so we need to be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. When we close here in just a minute, let me encourage you to ask Him for strength for your week. Say, Lord, I want to manifest consistently Your worthy glory, Your worthy name. Give me power to do that. Give me strength to do that. But look at the purpose of the strength. This is what surprises us a little bit. Why am I to have all this power by God's grace as He infuses His strength through me? What is it for? Strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. And look at the end of verse 11. For what? For the attaining of all steadfastness and patience joyously. Right, this is going to come as a little bit of a shock to us. We need to be strengthened as Christians to be patient, to have steadfastness in our patience with joy. The idea of steadfastness is the idea of remaining under a burden, a weight. Perhaps you have some weights today, significant pressure from your circumstances. Perhaps it's health problems, financial pressures, relationship pressures, job pressures. All of these can be weights that weigh on us. We need strength to bear up under those. All circumstances, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I need the power of His resurrection in my life because I don't want to walk like a zombie. I want to walk like an alive person, spiritually alive in my context. It's miraculous. But if you kind of read through that, what we would expect is we need strength, right? I need strength, I need power so that I can overcome this wicked culture, right? So I can take that person at work who lives anti-God and really quiet them from their anti-Christian views. Right? They may not become a Christian, but they're going to be afraid of ever crossing me again. I'm going to put them in their place because I have the strength of God. Right, what Christianity says is this: I am going to bear up under their demeaning, oppressive view and be gracious. I'm going to still be gracious. That is miraculous. And that's why He says you need strength to be a Christian, because you need strength to be patient under the weight of living a worthy walk. That is what demonstrates His glory. It's that person who doesn't have the power to say, I beat cancer. God took it away from me. Well, that's wonderful when He does, but this is even more demonstration of Christianity. I suffered for 10 years to the glory of God joyously. That is power. That is supernatural strength that can't be explained in any other way. It's living with that unbelieving spouse for years to the glory of God. It's praying for that child for years to the glory of God. That is Christianity. Right? And so other religions may kill to bring converts. Christianity is killed. Jesus went to the cross and died. And He encourages us to glorify Himself by doing the same. I want to read a few of these. This is actually, I've never done this, but this is from somebody's Twitter feed. But it's so worked in my heart, this principle, that I wanted to read at least a few of these. This is a person demonstrating this point. He says, 10 years ago, yesterday, my wife dismissed one of her college classes early because she was unable to remember some of her lecture material. She said, I guess I've been pushing myself too hard. At least I have the weekend to recharge. 10 years ago today, as we were leaving the house, my wife pointed to the front door and said, what is that thing called? I called our doctor's emergency contact number, described her symptoms to a nurse, and heard these words, get her to an emergency room as quickly as you can without endangering yourself or others. She was immediately taken to the exam room for an MRI. 15 minutes later, your wife has had a stroke. She went straight to the ICU. Relatively little damage evident, some weakness, weak in rehab facility. That was uneventful. She regained strength. The outlook was full recovery in a few months. The next Saturday, about an hour before she was supposed to be discharged, it was clear that something had gone terribly wrong overnight. She was taken back to the hospital, admitted again. A second MRI revealed a second, far worse stroke. A tumor that was obscured by the bleed caused by the first stroke. Emergency surgery was scheduled. The surgery lasted 7 hours. The surgeon told us that the tumor was encapsulated and was confident that he removed it without causing damage to surrounding tissue. But the prognosis for physical recovery was much different now. No one could say if she would recover, what extent, or how long. Once she was well enough to be transferred out of ICU, the assessment began. The verdict was this: months of physical, occupational, and speech therapy lay ahead. She would have to learn to dress and undress, how to hold special utensils. She required a wheelchair. She would have to learn how to talk again as a teacher. The stroke affected her speech completely different than most people. She would say each word many times, and she could not stop doing that. None of the techniques used to assist with recovering from speech helped her at all. Her therapist told her in one session, in 25 years he had never seen this condition, only read about it. After weeks of almost no progress, she broke down. How will I ever teach again? And then a magical moment came. During a session with her therapist, they said, I want you to pretend that you are giving a class lecture. And when I heard that, when she changed that, her speech went normal for the first time in 4 months. The stroke had not affected that part of her brain. But then came months and months of long-term care. All of these sessions, two setbacks along the way. 2.5 years after that, she's learning to drive. She says, I feel like being a teenager again. And then after 10 years, he says, God has been unspeakably merciful to us. The tumor was eventually diagnosed as benign. She's lived to see our then preteen girls become young adults. We thank Him every day for this and so many other blessings. Right, the removal of the trial demonstrates the strength of God. But the remainder under the trial, for years, graciously and mercifully, even more demonstrates the glory of God. As we have strength under the pressure, strength under the care and the concern and the difficulty. And that's what all of us need. And you may not be going through a health difficulty like that, but you may be. And the Lord can give you strength under the pressure. that difficulty, strength under that pressure to manifest His glory. And that would be walking worthy, right? Walking worthy of the Lord. And He's pleased with that as His Son is formed in you, showing that patience. And you're doing that what? Joyously. That is miraculous. And then number four, giving thanks to the Father. Here is a person who's bearing fruit, they're growing in knowledge, they're strengthened with all power, and they're giving thanks. Final item on the list of someone who is walking worthy is that they're being thankful. They're verbalizing thanks to God. A primary checklist item. Thankfulness is admitting you need someone and thanking for what they've done on your behalf. And that's why it's central to the gospel. A thankful person says, I did not take my sins away. I needed Jesus. And that's where he's going to move from here, thanking the Father. And then it just really goes so deep and so glorious in looking at why we are thankful for God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But this is a person who is spiritually alive. They're thanking God for who He is. Are you giving thanks today? A thankful person says, I did not have this and I needed it, and thank you so much. That is a person who's thriving before the Lord. Are you giving thanks? Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let me encourage you to take this as a checklist. Are you walking worthy of the Lord? Are you walking in a way that's pleasing to God today? That will be manifested in a thankful attitude. That will be manifested in doing good works to others. And I meant to say this, and I didn't, but I would encourage you, just as a checklist item for this week, think, okay, I'm going to do one random act of kindness each day to manifest. And again, this isn't earned God favor, but this manifests that this is happening in my life. I'm walking worthy. I'm bearing the fruit of good works. Are you growing in the knowledge of God? So we challenged you last week. Did you follow through with that? 15 minutes each day, spending time in the presence of the Lord. And then are you strengthened? Are you strengthened under the pressure of living in New York? Are you strengthened for His glory? And are you giving thanks? Let's do business with the Lord. Respond to His message here. If there's an area that you need to shore up in your life, then I would say, Lord, please forgive me, right? Repent, turn, trust in God's gospel that He has forgiven you because of Jesus. And if you'd like counsel, I'll be standing in the back and be happy to pray with you. Let's all do business with the Lord. In a moment, I'll close us in a time of corporate prayer. Let's